From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Chris Cherniak.
And I am Aaron Bragg, sitting in for co-host Nell Larson, who's on vacation this week.
That's right. Well, it's the end of the year, of course, and we thought we might take a few minutes to look back at some of the news and topics that shaped the environment during 2017.
First, Katie Wang joins us. Katie is the executive director of the Park City Film Series, and she stops by to review the environmental films that the series aired during the past year.
She also gives us a sneak peek at what is coming up in the near future, meaning January, with respect to some environmental films and documentaries.
Then we'll talk energy. What are some of the trends going on there in terms of fossil fuel demand and consumption, and how renewable energy continues to reshape our energy landscape, especially
right.
Here.
That's right. And we're going to keep it local, too. All that and some news on a country that pays you to use electricity. And a reminder that, you know what, we have a no idling policy in this town and in the county, right, Eric?
Correct.
That's right. We're going to spend a few minutes, if not more, to make sure everyone is exactly clear on what this no idling policy is about and what it's not about, too,
right.
And what the consequences are.
Correct.
If you don't abide by
That's
the
right.
no idling. Because we see lots of examples of that in this town, and we want that to change.
Yes, we got to be leaders.
All right. Now, we don't take phone calls during the show, but you can join in on today's discussion by posting your comments and questions to our email address, thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. Our connections
with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
Tune in to Park City's newest treasure find. Discover the treasure of stories at The Story Mine. Kathy and Dave, self-proclaimed prospectors, miners, and explorers, always in search of treasures worth telling a story about, will feature storytellers from all over the world telling their tales. You'll dig The Story Mine Sunday mornings at 8:30. Stories aren't just for children anymore.
Republic Services is proud to sponsor This Green Earth on KPCW. During the holiday season, Americans discard 25% more trash than normal. Roughly 80% of what is discarded during the holidays could be recycled, from gift boxes to holiday cards. Recycling during the holiday season helps keep Summit County green. Information about recycling at summitcountyrecycles.org.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Joining me as co-host this week is Aaron Bragg. Aaron is, among other things, executive director with Summit Community Power Works, and we're going to be talking a little bit about your work with SCPW coming up in this coming year, 2018. But first, we want to talk about 2017 in terms of some of the environmental films and documentaries that were aired in the Park City area with respect to the Park City Film Series. And who better to talk about that than Katie Wang, executive director of the Park City Film Series. She joins us this morning. Thank you so much, first of all, for taking the day after Christmas to come in here and chat with us about that.
Luckily, the big snow hit yesterday, so I didn't have to snow blow my way out of my driveway this morning. So I had a little extra time to sleep in.
Very good. And it doesn't look like we're going to get much snow in the next
few,
4 or 5 days. I know.
I turned
days.
Off all my heat tape this morning. You'll be happy to hear.
Hey.
Yeah.
Because it was
Woo.
So warm.
We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. We're going to remind people about their heat tape and their snow melt systems with respect to the energy consumption that those systems consume. It's a lot. And
it's costly.
Okay, we'll get to that. A lot to cover here this morning, but let's talk about some of the films. You come in here periodically, Katie, and give us, you know, the highlights on films that are coming up during the course of the year. And how many films with an environmental theme do you show each year?
Well, actually, I'm actually surprised myself. Nine last year had an environmental theme.
Okay, almost one a month.
Yeah.
Or so. And we're not going to go through all of them, but you wanted to talk about in terms of, say, a theme.
Yeah, we had a couple themes that I thought were really interesting. In April of last year, we had an environmental kind of theme for the whole month because it's Earth Day, Earth Month. And so each week we partnered with a different nonprofit to address different themes. And I really kind of, at looking back over the year, you know, there are a couple of highlights. And really at kind of the meta theme, I think, is really that communities taking charge of how they act, their impact on the environment, and how collectively we can really do better. Some of it, I think, is looking back and doing things the way we used to. When you think about food waste, you know, there's every culture, every food culture in the world, they do something with their scraps, with the end bits. You make curries, you make soups, you make stir fries. And, you know, in this generation kind of time of direct fresh and, oh, we don't want to have any waste, you kind of lose convenience.
Right.
You know, you go to Whole Foods and get takeout or wherever, you know, the grocery store, there's ready to, you know, really prepared food, that you kind of lose this whole culture and connection to cooking and what one does with the little bits and pieces that are left over when you make a meal. So, you know, it's been really interesting and I think hopeful to think of that. You think about communities that are addressing clean energy. And we did a film over the summer called From the Ashes, which is really about what happens after coal, what's beyond coal. It was with the Sierra Club, their Beyond Coal campaign, and looking really proactively and hopefully at some of these communities that are transitioning from coal, the coal mining, you know, West Virginia up into Montana, and looking at what does the clean energy future look like. And for them, you know, it's a message of hope because coal mining is a dirty business. I mean, the coal miners will tell you that. No one wants to be under the ground mining coal. So if you can be above ground, you know, servicing a windmill, I mean, how much better quality of life is that?
Because there's above ground coal operations.
Yes, there are.
Mountaintop removal.
Yes. But still dirty. But dirty business.
Sure.
So really looking at it from a community perspective of how do we, as we're doing in our own community, wean ourselves from carbon and, you know, go to clean energy, fossil fuels. Thank you. And then also for the people that are actually doing that work. What does that future look like for them? And when you talk to the coal miners,
so
for the most part, you know, it's pretty hopeful.
So that was a film called From the Ashes.
From the Ashes. Then we had a number of films actually about food waste. And we've been doing this for a couple of years. That's kind
you
of
have.
A theme that's been reoccurring. We did Just Eat It a few years ago, which was this couple that was basically dumpster diving and discovering all this food, good food that's thrown away.
Oh, that's
And for
right.
a month. Because, of course, they're documentary filmmakers. They can do this. But for a month, they lived really well off food waste.
Things
that were thrown away from the grocery store. And it was really eye-opening. And
so
then
they literally would go into dumpsters periodically.
No, that was how they sourced their food. They said, we will not buy any food for a month. And what they discovered, which I thought was interesting, is that the dumpsters that were near their homes, the grocery stores near their homes, they were actually kind of in competition with people who actually needed it. You know, people that are homeless, that didn't have the wherewithal.
Right.
So they said, you know what, that's not fair. So let's go a little farther away because we have the resources. So they drove a little farther away to where all of the supermarkets kind of have their kind of convening station where then they ship foods off to different places. And there were these massive dumpsters. You know, I can't remember how they, you know, the really, really big ones, 3 yards, 50 yards, whatever they're called.
Right.
Filled with hummus. All packaged, not expired. But it was close to its expiration date, completely edible, totally fine. There was a whole conversation, I think, really eye-opening about what do the dates mean on your food?
Right.
Is it still okay to eat? And, of course, it turns out that, in fact, for the most part, it is. And so they ended up eating very well. They ended up getting, for Halloween, because it was around, you know, in October, a whole box of organic chocolates that had been packaged incorrectly because they're in Canada and you have to have everything in English and French. So because there wasn't French language on the packaging, they threw away boxes and boxes of this organic chocolate. And so they ended up giving it away for Halloween because they're like, well, we can't possibly eat all this. So little things like that where it just doesn't, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling that you throw away all of this good edible food completely in the packaging because it doesn't have the right language.
All right. And that, obviously, that's going on every day.
Yeah.
In one area or another.
So we have
the
grocery store issue.
The amount of food that ends up at the landfill.
Really, the conversation has evolved through the films that we've shown over the past couple of years. We're seeing more and more is this conversation around food waste has really taken off. We did Theater of Life last year, which is a foreign film, and it was about Massimo Bottura, who's a celebrity chef, kind of well-known chef, and he's basically taking all the food waste from Expo in Spain and then creating meals for the hungry and the homeless there. But now that idea has taken off, so now restaurateurs in our own community are looking at what do we do with the end bits of our food?
Right.
What do we do with the food that's left over? How do we do a better job of kind of preparing our meals? The same way you think about recycling. How do we reduce the waste before it even becomes waste? and do a better job of, because you think about, I think it's pancetta, that it's food waste. It's pigs that are being fed food waste that then they process the pigs and then they make pancetta. But you don't think, you don't sell it as that. You know, so, oh, this is the waste pork. No, you sell it as something that's delicious. And so really changing the conversation about how we think about food waste and how we think about food and eating, and kind of what I was saying earlier, that there's, you know, the scraps are not, it's not a bad thing. It's not, oh, you get, sorry, you get, you know, the end bit because that's the bad bit. It's like, no, the end bit because maybe it didn't look so nice for the main meal, but let's make it into something else that's equally delicious, but just looks differently, right? You think of lasagna, like, do you really need the best, you know, bit of carrot in there, the best looking vegetable that's in your lasagna? No, it's all going to be kind of mixed up and in there, but the flavors will be delicious once, you know, they're kind of melded together.
So better understanding of where our food is coming from, how much of it is wasted before it even gets to the shelf.
Yep.
And then it can be wasted when it's taken home in one form or another. But then there's movements, of course, where we're taking the food waste, food scraps, and if we can't reuse it in some fashion, we're getting more mindful about composting, either on an individual basis, and communities are trying to design and build and operate larger composting types of facilities, which they can then make organic matter, soil or so, which then can be put back into the community, et cetera. Or down here in the city, that there's efforts to take food waste and other organic matter, digest it under anaerobic digestion, generate methane gas, and then that methane gas can be used to generate energy, et cetera. So lots of things going on in the food waste stream, let's call it, to ultimately keep all this food waste from ending up in the landfill.
Right, because once it's in the landfill, we showed this food called Wasted. Anthony Bourdain was the narrator, which was hilarious. And they're asking people on the street, how long does it take for, you know, a banana, for food to just, you know, biodegrade in a commercial landfill? Decades. I mean, it was just shocking that you think, oh, you know, it's going to go into the landfill, and it'll, but it's because it's a closed system, right? They seal it. There's no air, oxygen that's getting in there.
Right.
Right. That then it becomes actually a buildup of dangerous gases.
Right.
When you could really, in your own backyard, even here in Park City, you know, it's cold outside, but I throw all my scraps into my composter, and it's not going to compost well in the wintertime. If I stirred it more, it probably would. But, you know, it just sits there, and then once it gets warm again, stir it up. You know, compost quite easily, and then it just becomes soil, and either you put it on your garden or just even put it in your backyard. It's just, you know, returning it back to the earth.
So you compost?
I do.
Aaron, do you? Have you tried that?
I give it to the chickens.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I got
so
chickens.
So you use compost. See, you're recycling it.
So exactly. We have a little bin in the kitchen. We put all the food scraps in it, and then when it gets full, we take it out to the chickens.
Yeah, and if you have kids, you can do vermicomposting with worms, which actually is not smelly at all.
No.
It's awesome. In my graduate school, we had them all in the corridors. So everywhere by the trash can, there was a worm bin.
Right.
And so you'd just stick your food scraps in there and put your trash, if you had any, because, of course, you know, this is School of Natural Resources, so no one had trash. But
of course.
Right.
Next to the recycle bin. But, you know, like they do in San Francisco, the trash bin was the smallest of them. Because if there was possibly after you'd reused and composted and whatever, everything, that tiny little bin. So food waste was another one.
Okay.
And then really what communities are doing. So we had Death by Design, which is about the planned obsolescence of electronics equipment.
Oh,
and
right.
The impact that that's having over in China, and then how that comes back to us in the form of air pollution here in Utah. But really about the fix-it culture, right? How do we design things, one, that then they don't, that when they break, we can fix them, which is kind of, again, kind of gone by the wayside, right? You think about 200 years ago, everything had to last forever. And now we've like, oh, you know, your next iPhone, we'll just get the new one. We'll slow it down, right? There's the whole controversy in the news about Apple slowing down your old phone, so you have to get the latest and greatest with their software.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're being taken to court for that.
Okay.
But really, but how do you fix it? How do you get the batteries out? And so there are these communities around the world, I think in Ireland is the one they profiled in Death by Design, where they are basically sending you the information of, here's how you get the battery out of this phone and charge it or replace it, so that you can extend its lifespan. And so this whole fix-it culture, which I think is fascinating. We had another film called Tomorrow, a French film, and looking at communities that are fixing things, but then also creating their own currency so that you have to buy and sell locally. If you have a local currency in Bristol, London, you know, and they do funny things and put, you know, David Bowie's face on it, because why not? But then it requires that you have to work with local merchants and keep everything in your community. So it's really, so those are the things I find exciting, is that communities are really saying, okay, yes, at a global level, we have this huge issue, But it's hard for me as one person or us as one community to have an impact on, you know, a community on the other side of the world. What we can do is we can focus on ourselves. And we see the same thing here in Park City. We can become 100% renewable. Yes, that will have an overall impact, right? Because it's all additive. But let's focus on ourselves first. And how can we become an example? How can we change and take control of our own destiny?
Right.
And I think that I find that exciting and empowering, because then collectively, obviously, bigger impact. But then we should be inspired by each other. What are other people doing? What are other communities doing that maybe we could learn from and take back and adopt for ourselves, or adapt them as it fits us for a mountain town community, that I think is, you know, inspiring and is really hopeful.
Yes, we are doing a lot of things here. And going back to that Death by Design film, China is about to make things even more complicated for us in the U.S. because they're going to be, starting in 2018, cracking down on the amount of recyclables that they import. Mm-hmm. They've had enough. And in fact, they have plenty of recyclables in their own country now. As their economy grows, their population grows, you know, the middle class grows, et cetera. They're generating enough plastics and papers and electronics that they're really establishing this green fence, green sword. They're different, has different names. But electronics are going to be more complicated to process. It won't be as simple as putting them on a ship and sending them over to China and let it be China's problem like it used to be.
Right.
Now we're going to have to be smarter, even smarter, about how we reuse, recycle, maybe upcycle electronics, our electronic waste stream.
Right. Well, it just goes back to that same conversation about food, right? It's about looking at the full lifespan of something.
The life
cycle.
How
do you plan it properly so that it lives as long as it can, and then when it gets to the end of life, that you can then reuse it, you know, the cradle to grave kind of philosophy. And then at the very last option should be to put it in the trash. That should be the smallest bin kind of in your your mind as you think about things. But otherwise, you know, let's reuse it, or, you know, not create or purchase things that basically can't be reused or fixed or,
well,
you know, changed.
For example, Recycle Utah takes TVs, right? They take TVs, but you have to pay. They don't take them for free. And they usually charge you somewhere between $15 and $20. And if you want to give a little more, that's even better. But it costs them to then have MedTech, a company down in Salt Lake City, take the TVs where they then break them down or recycle them or repurpose them in some fashion. So there's a cost associated sometimes with addressing our... Well, again, this is electronic waste.
Well, I think there's always a cost. We just don't always, as a consumer, see it, right? Like, they're making you pay up front.
Right.
But they're, in the example of Death by Design, it's coming back because of the way that the prevailing winds are. We're getting all that pollution creating in China coming right back at us here in Utah. Just that's the way the wind patterns go. So,
right.
So kind of then on more of a slightly tangential but certainly related, and I think for me something that I find fascinating track that we're seeing is looking at science and science education. So we did a film about Jane Goodall, you know, the famous primatologist, and just her track from being just someone who was passionate about animals and wanting to go to Africa, becoming, you know, discovering all of this information about chimpanzees, and now becoming this world-renowned scientist and activist, because she realized if I want to save the chimpanzees, I have to spread the word about what is happening to them and how we are encroaching on their habitats. And, you know, if we want to preserve, you know, this one particular species, but certainly animal species, you know, are globally, it's obviously her interest, that she has to travel the world and really be an advocate. So I thought that was really inspiring. And also looking at science, we talk a lot about STEM education, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math. And I think a lot of the conversations are about, how do we get to Silicon Valley, right?
Right.
Learning how to code, let's become computer technology people, you know, which is great. And that's interesting. And that certainly is an area of growth. But you look at someone like Jane Goodall, she's an environmental scientist, right? You think about conservation. My degree is in environmental science, but it's about behavior. And it's about, you know, ecology. And that is another track of science I think we don't talk about as much. But that certainly is, if you love animals like my kids do, sure, you could become a vet, or you could become a conservation scientist and you could help protect the planet. You can help protect animal species. You can, you know, help the natural, you know, the landscapes. That there's science is such a multifaceted field that it doesn't have to just be about computers, technology.
We can turn STEM to STEAM.
Yes.
Well,
science,
then there's art,
technology,
of course. Yes. And so that's looking forward.
No, I was thinking the extra E.
The A.
Engineering.
Art.
Environment and math. Steam.
Steam is
but
art.
I know steam is also art.
Yeah.
Art and math. But I get what you're saying. And we got to take a break. But I hear what you're saying, Katie, about that that the environment and the science of the environment is critical to our, you know.
And we need more scientists. We need more scientists, you know, writ large.
Willing to understand and explore that.
Think about conservation in that context as well.
Well, we all have science or environmental type degrees here. And we did that for a reason. I mean, I did it because I have a love and concern for the environment and maybe an aptitude in math and engineering. And I combined the two. And that's why I became an environmental engineer that looks at and assesses pollution. And tries to design and build systems that reduce air, water, and land pollution. So there's ways to combine the two. All right, let's take a break. You got a couple more films, and then we want to look at films that are coming up.
Yes, absolutely.
We're speaking with Katie Wang. She's the executive director with the Park City Film Series, and you're listening to This Green Earth. We'll be right back after these words from our underwriters. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain instructors share their love of skiing and snowboarding with guests, helping them improve their skills and enjoy the mountain. More information on Ski and Snowboard School and other programs at parkcitymountain.com.
Hi, this is Gabriel Melendez from U.S. Bank, back to support our students of Park City High School with KPCW. We offer student accounts and parent banking solutions, including online and mobile banking and credit cards. U.S. Bank is located on the corner of Park Avenue and Deer Valley Drive, usbank.com or 647-3726.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, the weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Aaron Bragg is joining me as guest co-host this morning. Thanks for coming in, Aaron.
Of course.
Always a pleasure to have you on, and we'll be chatting with you in a little bit about what you're doing with Summit Community Power Works and energy efficiency, et cetera. But we're talking right now with Katie Wang. She is the executive director of the Park City Film Series. We were just talking about all the films that have an environmental theme to them that you showed during the course of 2017. You said there was about 9 of them. So you try to average one a month or so, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less.
And it really depends on we follow the trends of what's being made. We can't control certainly films that are coming up. We try not to show older films. So it's really a reflection of what... what people are thinking about, what filmmakers are choosing to focus on, documentarians, since a lot of those are documentaries. And then certainly during the month of April, we showed a series of films about the environment to really raise the issue and kind of get people's wheels turning about the environment and how to address some of these issues and really see stories of hope. I mean, I think that's really important when you talk about the environment and conservation that you always look at the hopeful side, right? It's like I always kind of think of the analogy when I learned how to play tennis, right? You look where you want the ball to go. If you're looking at gloom and doom and disaster, that's where we're going to go. But if you look at hopefulness and you look at these amazing communities that are, they have a low impact on the environment, they're 100% clean energy, and they're beautiful and amazing places that you would want to live, then that's what we can aspire to, and that's what we can achieve. That it doesn't have to be us sitting in the dark, freezing cold, eating bugs.
Right.
Although bugs are a new trend in the food conversation.
You may find it. You might.
But they can be
find
delicious.
A documentary.
Yes.
That addresses that.
Crickets are delicious.
So films that have aspirations to inspire.
Yes.
Let's say.
Yes.
So you have a couple films coming up this month.
So now we're focusing. We're kind of we finished off with Jane Goodall, and we're really looking at science education.
Mm-hmm.
We have a grant from the Verizon Foundation to focus on STEM education. So we have a STEM education film series. And we're partnering with the library in January. And we're showing Hidden Figures, which is a film that came out last year. And it's about three African-American women who were instrumental in the space race. And they were kind of called human computers. This is before, it's funny to see some of the scenes where they have the IBM computer coming in that, fills 5 rooms. And it's probably has less processing power
than
what's
feeder.
On your phone.
You have to feed the card.
My dad has stories of that from grad school. It would take days to get the information
I have stories
back.
About dropping my cards.
Oh, no.
But
really how science and math, right, how it can be instrumental and really exciting and has this large impact on, you know, certainly on what we're doing in space exploration. And we'll have a speaker after that. We have a computer scientist, Dr. Helen Hu from Westminster College, coming to talk about, you know, computer science and kind of what's going, you know, how this is moving forward and really women's role in science and how that's evolving and changing. Certainly there have been barriers and in Hidden Figures, the barriers are not only are they African-American, but they are also women. And the two of the, that combination was, you know, it was a pretty high, you know, wall to climb over, but obviously they were tremendously successful. And so kind of thinking forward of what's going on now and how can one, you know, what are the resources available for young women and girls and people of color to really achieve their truest potential in these fields.
So when is that?
That's going to be on January 6th. It's also part of our Books to Movies program. So it kind of fits into a different couple different categories. So that's a Saturday, and that'll be at 4 o'clock. It's a free screening.
Oh, good.
And then our next one is Bill Nye Science Guy, the movie, the documentary. Yes. So if you grew up with Bill Nye, Bill. You know, his whole mission with his series was to get kids excited about science, right? And science is pretty amazing. I was not, you know, a great math kid growing up. I'm not a math genius and certainly was not in high school. But when I took physics, suddenly math made sense. Suddenly calculus made sense of, oh, well, one, this is physics, is how does the world work? But then the math is what makes physics work, that's kind of the language of physics. And suddenly it all came together. And it's exciting when you see kids and when you had it in your own mind, that spark of like everything suddenly connects and you're just like, oh, now it makes sense. Now I understand why being good at math can help with science and why thinking about the scientific method of thinking about the world is so interesting and so powerful. And that really is Bill Nye's message. In this mm-hmm. particular film, he focuses on climate change and, you know, speaking out against climate deniers. But really, we want to take kind of that meta level of going from that to why is the scientific method important? The science fairs in the elementary and, you know, I guess, throughout the school district. My daughter is in elementary school, so they're in fifth grade required to submit a project into the science fair this year. Why is that important? You know, for her, she's struggling. She's like, ah, oh, why do I do this? Does it really make sense? You know, whatever the project she picked. And I think all kids struggle with that.
Yeah.
Right? This one little thing. How does this make a difference to anything? Right? And so really the point of the STEM education film series, and certainly these films in particular, is here's why it's important. Here's why doing the scientific process, you know, creating a hypothesis, testing it. If it doesn't work, testing again, you know, rejiggering that whole process of thinking about the world and how things work is important for almost anything you do in life.
All right. And the role that failure can play at times in the scientific process and being able to accept failure as a part of a learning process.
Well, and sometimes failing inspires you to think about something differently to then be successful, right? Yeah. But you need to test your idea. Here's my hypothesis. Did it work? Okay, no. But maybe if I just tweak it this way, it will work. Maybe my assumption was wrong, or maybe I'm testing for the wrong thing. And so just that whole, I mean, you know, we're all scientists, so you kind of think about that. But I think if you haven't, you know, when you're young, it's hard to connect all of those dots and see why doing something so kind of meticulously really matters. And so we'll have a panel discussion after Bill Nye Science Guy. We have Emma Greeley, who's an eighth grader here in Park City, and she's won, you know, she's gone all the way up to the Utah State Science Fair level. So an award-winning.
Who's that?
Emma Greeley.
Okay.
We'll have Charlie Matthews, who's the STEM education coordinator.
Sure.
We have another STEAM educator from the Leonardo who will be here. And they have their traveling exhibit, the Leo on Wheels, that normally goes to schools. So they're going to do a sort of modified version of that. So a hands-on exhibit that you can engage with kind of science. And it's really, again, about sparking your imagination. And then we have another STEAM coordinator who'll be coming as well to just, again, kind of think about how does this all fit together? And certainly the STEAM, you know, the A, adding arts into that.
So it's not just about,
yeah.
Okay.
So that is the science, but then you can also, it's not, I think there's kind of this dichotomy that we've created of, oh, you know, it's science and then arts and they're separate. They're totally intertwined and can be very interesting as a result of that.
All right. So again, when is this film? Bill Nye's
That'll be on
film.
Thursday, January 11th. It's January at 7 o'clock, 11. And it's also a free screening, thanks to our sponsorship from the Verizon Foundation.
And again, you said this is kind of a autobiography about Bill Nye?
So it's a documentary about him and really kind of how the Bill Nye Science Guy Science Show, but then really kind of who he is as a person. You know, why did he start doing this?
Exactly.
And then where has he come? Where has he gone since then?
Okay.
He's now the executive director of the Carl Sagan Institute and really focused on space exploration, but again, is really trying to get people, still get kids excited about science, but also really around climate change And so advocating for the fact that climate is changing.
Yeah.
The climate
and the science bears that
the
out.
The science, yes.
Right. Clear.
Yes, he's very clear about that.
Okay. So that's coming up on January 11th. That's a free screening mm-hmm. at 6 p.m. And I always like the fact that you have those
7
panels.
P.m.
Sorry.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
But if you come at 6, you can engage with the Leonardo's exhibit.
There you
interactive
go.
Science exhibit.
So. I thought so.
Yes. So that's what you really what you're going for.
But I always like the fact that you have panels afterwards. So people who have all these questions and thoughts and ideas get a chance to add their ideas to the the post-film story.
Yep, and we'll have Cool Science Radio, Lynn Peek or John Wells.
Good.
One of the two of them is going to be the moderator. Then the other panelist, Dr. Wendy Lawrence, who's a STEAM educator and consultant. And then Sarah Murphy, who's the STEAM educator from the Leonardo. Charlie
wow.
Matthews, Park City School District STEM coordinator, and Emma Greeley, which is pretty excited. I really wanted to have a young person on the panel to really talk about her experience because she's done, she's amazingly talented, and just why is she so excited about science? And she's obviously doing quite well
right.
kind of in the science fair world, and really to get kids excited about being a part of these science fairs. And maybe they'll go to the state level or maybe not, but they'll learn something along the way and why
right.
that's really important.
All right.
So parkcityfilmseries.org, all of that.
How did you know I was going to ask you that?
I don't know.
Because that's what I always ask. parkcityfilmseries.org.
Yes.
To learn more about all these films coming up, not just these two, but you have all,
yeah.
an array of films.
And we do
films,
keep our archives
dramas.
On our website. So if any of the films that we've been talking about today, you want to go back and say some of them at this point are available online.
Okay.
That you can kind of look back through our archives and say, I want to hear more about that Tomorrow film or what's Death by Design all about. You can certainly find the information about the film, who the director is, and then find that online.
Perfect.
So we'd like people to come see it in the theater first, but after we've shown it, 6 to 12
right.
months later, they're generally out there in the world. And we want those stories to get out there and to spark interesting conversations. And so hopefully we're doing that.
And you do. And,
thank you.
And we, again, appreciate you taking the time to come on this morning to talk about that.
Thank you for having me.
And Katie Wang, Executive Director with the Park City Film Series. Thanks again for coming in. And we'll see you, maybe on the 6th, more like on the 11th, too, with those
yes,
Bill
absolutely.
Nye film.
Yep.
And we'll mention again on the show here, between now and then.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All
and
right.
Happy New Year.
Yes, same to you.
Yes.
We'll be right back after these words from our underwriters to talk with Erin Bragg about the work she's doing in the area of energy efficiency and in the city and in the county. And
idling.
And we will do, yes.
Anti-idling.
We're definitely going to get to that idling story because there's a lot of examples now of that idling ordinance. It's an ordinance. It's no longer positive. It's an ordinance being broken, and we're going to name names. That's what we do here on this screen.
We can look out the window and point fingers, too.
Exactly. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Roney, Jr. from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties. We are a proud supporter of KPCW and our Park City community. Our agents are located in Summit and Wasatch counties, and we can be reached at bhhsutah.com or 649-7171.
Wake up to the Marketplace Morning Report every weekday at 6:50 and 7:50 during the morning news with Leslie Thatcher. Brought to you in part by Big D Construction, DeJuria Center at High Star Ranch, and Esco Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. That's Esco, ESCO.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak, and Erin Bragg is here with me as a guest co-host this Tuesday. But we want to take a few minutes to talk to you, Erin, about what you're doing in the community with respect to, in this case, energy consumption, energy efficiency, and Summit Community Power Works. A nonprofit organization here in town, established
yes.
about 4 years ago, to bring education and awareness to the community, to to school districts, to municipalities, to businesses at large about the value of energy efficiency. Do I have that right for the most part?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's very good.
All right. So let me start with this question. Where do you see in a typical home the biggest examples of energy waste, electricity or natural gas? Where do you think we waste the most energy?
In homes in general, in heating.
Heating the homes?
Heating, because most homes are not built tight, right?
Okay.
There's some seepage that leaves the home.
It allows a lot of cold air coming in.
Right. Or your heat leaving.
Or the heat going out.
Right.
Okay.
And your insulation. Sometimes older homes, when they were built, maybe the insulation in the attic wasn't put in properly, or it's not there.
Or not at all.
Like, right,
in, like, I would bet you where I live in Racquet Club Village, I would not be surprised if my attic space has no insulation. I would not be surprised if there you could find some wall space that doesn't have any insulation. Or if it did, it's, you know, the bare minimum that was required,
right,
at that time.
Right.
Which is 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Right. And we have increased our standards since then, and we've learned a lot in that time. So
homes that are built,
right,
you know, in the last decade or so probably have greater amounts of energy efficiency or better envelopes,
yes,
or tighter envelopes. So they do a good job at not wasting natural gas, because that's what we're talking about,
right,
at the end of the day. We burn natural gas primarily to heat our homes. Okay,
right.
So insulation, lack of or just not enough there.
Right.
And then openings in our windows or our,
yeah,
doors or fireplaces,
yeah,
and flues and things like that.
Exactly. The average home, if you put all those little cracks and pieces together, typically has a 4-foot hole in the wall.
It's the equivalent of a,
yep,
having an opening,
so just, yeah,
4 feet by,
yeah,
4 feet
Kool-Aid
or so.
Man
or 4 foot
just
time.
Popped in your home and then walked,
okay,
away, and that's what it's like.
So that's as a result, that's a big waste, or not to say waste, but it just requires you to use even more natural gas to keep up.
Right.
Okay. So again, you can caulk, you can do other types of, you can change out. These are cost-related items. You know, lots,
right,
of people don't have the money to go out and get new triple-pane windows or more better insulated doors and other sliders and things like that.
Right.
So
but
that's a challenge.
True. And depending on what it is that you want to fix or improve in your home, Rocky Mountain Power or Dominion, which is Questar, well, used to be Questar, has rebates and helpful pieces. So if you are thinking about new windows or you are thinking about a new furnace, there may be a rebate for you to get $200 off that new furnace. Or,
okay,
if you did, you had an audit, you do need insulation in your attic, you use an approved vendor by one of those companies, and they will pay that vendor to do, so you get it cheaper.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, and so that's, where would I learn more about that?
So right now, you can go to the individual websites, the Rocky Mountain Power site or the Dominion site, but,
okay,
hopefully in the future, Summit Community Power Works will scan all that information for you, pull the important pieces so that then you could just come to our website and we will have simplified that process for you.
Oh, great. That's what you're working on. One of the,
yes,
things you're working on.
Working on, yeah. We're working with the utilities. We're helping, because if you don't have to say, okay, I need a new furnace, what furnace do I need, right? And you look,
yeah,
there's, you know, 200
dozens,
different types.
Yes.
Right? You got to figure it out. What's best for your home? What's best in our climate? What is going to be the most energy efficient? You know, knowing that the city and the county are moving towards 100% renewable energy pieces, you know, all these, we will figure out that for you, and we can knock it down to maybe the top five. And then you'll be able to pick from there.
All right. So that's all coming in 2018 on
yes,
the Summit
it is.
Community Power Works website,
yes,
scpw.org.
Correct.
Okay. So that's natural gas. What about electricity? Where do you think we waste, again, you know, in a way, it's a, It's a wasting, or we're inefficient. Let's call it the more civil way.
Say. Yes.
Where are we inefficient with the way we consume electricity in our homes?
Old appliances. Or old light bulbs.
Or bad behaviors.
Yes. Leaving the lights on. Yeah,
things like that.
Plugging it, keeping your items, right? You have charged your cell phone. You take your cell phone off the charger, but you leave the charger plugged into the wall.
So that's still like picture electrons just literally leaking out of the end of the charger, if you want.
Yes.
Same thing with my laptop.
Correct.
Once you charge your laptop, you pull. If you keep it plugged in, you're still drawing a current. And so imagine electrons spilling out all over your table. And you're paying for that.
Right.
That's the point.
Yeah.
You're paying for that. It's not, you know, the Rocky Mountain Power, you know, doesn't distinguish between what you are charging your phone with and what you're spilling out all over the floor. You pay for it no matter what. So these are opportunities to save money.
Right. And it's the behavior change.
And that's big.
And that's, yeah, exactly. That's hard. That's big, especially if you, right, you do something one way for your whole life, but now you want me to change it? What?
Right. Well, the answer is yeah, if you want to make a difference. You want to make a difference on your monthly bill, and you want to make a difference with, let's say, the fossil fuels that you consume when you're running these appliances inefficiently. Right. All right, I'll get to it. Heat tape. Here's an example of heat tape in terms of how much coal it consumes. Here's the rule of thumb. For every 100 feet of heat tape that runs 24 hours a day, okay, it consumes 10 pounds of coal per day. So again, if you have 100 feet of heat tape, you run it all day, whether you need it or not, and we'll get to that. That means that you're asking Rocky Mountain Power, basically, ask them, to burn 10 pounds of coal. So we need to do a better job of kind of taking ownership at the energy that we consume and recognize it. In this case, in, at least in this state, we burn a lot of coal to produce electricity. We burn natural gas, too, two forms of fossil fuel. So that's an example. And I would say that we really mismanage and are very inefficient with our snowmelt systems in this town. And we need to do a better job there, because once the snowmelt system melts the snow around in and around the eaves and the gutters and the downspout, and if there's no snow in the forecast, then it's done.
Right.
You can turn it off.
Its job.
It's done its job. You can turn it off. If you see a return of a potential ice dam, turn it back on. It doesn't take, 24 or 48 hours for your heat tape to warm up like some people think. And they think that, I need to have it on all the time because, it's working all the time. No, it does its job and then you can turn it off. We need to be more mindful of our snowmelt systems in that way.
Right. And I've been talking to people who are starting to manage their heat tape individually and seeing cost savings in the thousands of dollars.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Over the course of the winter?
Yes.
That's how much? Well, a lot of homes have hundreds and hundreds of feet of heat tape.
Right.
So they're consuming, the other rule of thumb, it's $1.50 a day for every 100 feet of tape running all day.
Right.
So that, if they have 500 feet, that's $7.50, $8 a day times that's $240 a month times four.
Yep.
There you go. There's thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
It adds up.
It adds up.
And it doesn't, and we're not anti-tape. We're just saying that I've said this before. It's the equivalent of running your dryer 24 hours a day with the idea that, well, at some point I'm going to throw some wet clothes in there and I might as well have it warmed up. No, that would be, if you did something like that and actually shared it with others, you would be seen as insane. Yet, when it comes to heat tape, we have no problem. Our behavior, again, is that set it and forget it. What's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal according, in terms of the money you spend and the money you waste.
Right.
You might as well open your door and just throw a handful of quarters out the door every day. Say, here you go. Here's six quarters out into the, out in the street, because that's what I just wasted running my heat tape when I don't need it. Okay.
Right.
So that I see that.
Yeah.
And hot tubs too are a big waste of energy. True. You know, for those who just keep them running 24 hours and heated at 100 degrees.
Right. And that's one of those pieces that is hard in our community because we are a resort community, right? Everybody wants fireplaces and they want hot tubs and they want the romanticism of living in the mountain culture. But we're starting to already work on the fireplace issue. A lot of them have been retrofitted. And so we're not burning wood the way we used to. And exactly.
And we turn to natural gas,
right,
which of course is fossil fuel. But you're right. There's benefits my fireplace, now that's converted to natural gas, is no longer a source of cold air that would just come pouring down into. In fact, when I had a wood fire, it would draw cold air in through all the cracks, that 4-foot hole.
Yep.
So, natural gas systems, fireplaces burn a little more efficiently than wood. And, of course, wood produces air pollutants, PM2.5, PM10, et cetera. All right. So you learn more at scpw.org.
Yes.
Right? That's the work you're going to be doing this coming year, to educate and bring awareness on energy efficiency.
Yes.
All right. We got like 5 more minutes.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
All right.
And let's turn our attention to another big issue in this town, particularly now that it's winter, and that is our no idling ordinance. We have a no idling ordinance in this community.
And so does unincorporated Summit County.
Okay, the whole place, everywhere, has a no idling, and they're probably fairly similar.
Yes.
They were adopted, so they're not dramatically different from each other in terms of what it covers, what it might not cover, and the fines associated. So we want to spend a few minutes going over, we have the Park City ordinance right here in front of us. It's Title IX Parking Code, Section 9-10-1 of the Municipal Code of Park City. You can go online and find it. I just did a search on Park City No Idling Ordinance, and it comes right up.
Yeah.
So you can get it yourself. Here it is. I'll just read. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just go through some of the main parts of it, the salient parts. No driver, while operating a vehicle within Park City, and we can say within the county too, shall cause or permit a vehicle's engine to idle for more than, it used to be 3 minutes. It's now one.
Okay.
The city is one.
Okay. I think the county's two.
Okay.
But we'd have to double check that.
A couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Right? No more than a couple of minutes, with the following exceptions. And there's 5 or 6 exceptions. Some of them are obvious. Obviously, if you're standing in the left-hand turn lane, if you're driving a vehicle and you're motionless, that doesn't count, okay? So that's the emergency vehicles, they're exempt from this. They have to idle during, calls or activities.
Right.
And so, okay, we get it. If your idling is necessary for a repair or inspection of the vehicle, that's an exception. There's a couple of exceptions here that are interesting. Oh, actually, the original ordinance gave you exceptions when the temperature fell below 32 degrees.
The county still has that, I believe.
All right. So if the temperature is below 32 degrees, the county ordinance allows you to idle.
Yes.
Okay.
But don't be idling just so the snow will melt off your windshield. Right. Don't turn your car on yet.
Well, okay. That's interesting because I've heard that. What about I got to defrost my car?
Right.
Like I did this morning. So the city idling says this. This exception also includes idling needed to operate window defrosters and other equipment necessary to promote safe driving conditions.
Right.
So that there's a lot of latitude in how you define, what's necessary to promote safe driving conditions, right? So I have to defrost my windows. I had to do that this morning. So so I had the car ran, of course I scrape it off too.
Right.
You get out and scrape.
Scrape it off. Right.
All right. So there are some exceptions. You've got to go through the ordinance. The point here is that I'm really directing this towards the people I see who are at the supermarket.
Yes.
Park their car.
Or at the bank.
Someone runs inside to get, the typical, just 4 or 5 items, I'll be right back. And the other person is sitting in the car with the car running.
Yes.
No, you can't do that. That's against the ordinance.
Yes.
All right. And you shouldn't do that anyway. We don't like it. It fouls our air.
It's, yeah, it's
young
not
lungs
good.
At work in this town, right?
That's right.
It's harmful to kids, particularly kids who have asthma or other respiratory challenges. Think about them when you're sitting there idling and keeping warm
right.
while someone's running inside.
And if you go to the sustainability page on the county website, summitcounty.org, you can print off a ticket.
What?
At home.
Wow.
Not a real one.
Right.
But so if you see somebody doing that and you want to have a conversation with them about how it's harmful for our lungs and our environment, you can use this to help educate yourself.
Okay. So
and
that's
them.
On the county website.
Yes.
And you can print this out.
You can
out.
Print it out and it'll say, here's our, it says what the idling ordinance is. It has the pieces on it and you can just say, hey, you know, we don't do that in our community. Here's some information about it.
And the city has an idling complaint form.
Yes.
You can go online and there's a form you can fill out and email to them and they log it in. My friends just call the taxi services that are typically the biggest the biggest scofflaws when it comes to this. They are idling all the time, and so they'll just call those services, the dispatch, and let them know that plate number or driver number is sitting in front of the market idling their vehicle while their clients are in shopping. And you can't do that.
No.
And by the way, while you're at it, stop parking in the fire lane too, which is really drives all of us bananas. Separate issue. But stop, drop, in the fire and in the handicap spots.
Oh, yeah.
I see that.
Don't
so
do that.
These are these services that right. are doing that. All right. We're out of time.
Or
all right,
don't
last
be parking
word.
In the EV slots if you're not driving an EV.
You've seen that too.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen, all right. Yo, don't do it. Just you
be
know,
considerate.
Be considerate. Act like, you know, part of the community.
That's right.
Right here. This is who we are as a
10
community.
10 seconds of kindness. Isn't that what Charlie says? Mountain trails.
Oh, is that what he says?
Yeah.
Well, it, you know.
Use it
how about
everywhere
20?
In your life.
How about 45?
Not just when you're on the trail.
How about just kindness? This is who we are as a community. This is why
That's
we
right.
establish these ordinances. Because we feel these are important to our community. And so if you're here visiting, and if you're here working in this community,
That's right.
and it requires you to be in transportation services, you got to honor that too.
Right.
Or we're going to remind you.
That's right.
Because I have friends who will, most of them women friends, who have no reservation about going up to the window and knocking on the window and say,
oh, yes.
we have a no idling ordinance in this town.
I know people who have walked up and just turned off people's cars
oh.
for them. That's a little aggressive. I wouldn't suggest doing that.
I had a friend who did
that
too.
But I know people who have done that.
The car was left idling unattended, which is also,
right.
That's against state law to leave a car running unattended. And she went in and turned the car off. That's, I think that's trespassing,
yeah.
but so be it. That's who we are as a community. All right. Now we're way out of time. We got to get one more underwriter in and it's time to wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Rimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, FredMarshallPainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hey, we're out of time. It's time to wrap up. On This Green Earth, let's thank our sponsors and underwriters who make this show possible. They include Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance,
Vail Epic Promise,
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties,
Local Business San Francisco Design.
That's right, Park City Mountain, and
listeners like all of you guys.
Most importantly, listeners like you. And if you have any ideas or thoughts about shows or topics that you would like us to cover, we're always open to suggestion. You can email us your thoughts at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. Take us out.
This is KPCW 91.7 FM.